It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley are not here. They're there. They're in Washington, D.C. for what was formerly the Worldwide Partners Conference. Microsoft now calls it Inspire. And we will inspire with all the Windows news and a visit from the lady with the red button. Donna Sakar stops by. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley, episode 526, recorded Wednesday, July 12th, 2017, live from Inspire. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/windows and enter the promo code Windows. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/windows. And by Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. See what's on the menu this week and get three meals free with your first purchase and free shipping by going to blueapron.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we get together with the two of the tip-top, toppity-tops, the toppermost of the poppermost, Windows and Microsoft journalists, Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com, Paul Theroux from Theroux.com, and today they are paired up. They are together in a giant cavernous, might I say. Yes. Look, she can actually nudge him. A cavernous room in Washington, D.C., where they're about to address a joint session of Congress? No.
That's right. You're probably wondering why we asked you here today.
It's the, they call it Inspire, but this used to be the Partners event, right?
That's right.
Worldwide Partner Conference, now yeah. Microsoft Inspire.
Nice.
We're feeling inspired.
Hello, you two.
Hello.
And Paul, I was worried you weren't going to make it. Did you take the train down this morning?
I did.
And you made it.
Yep, I did.
Good.
Yep. 90 minutes of driving, 90 minutes of a train.
Yikes.
10 minutes in a cab.
All right. And you're going right home right afterwards. So anybody wants to ask Paul a question, now's the time.
I know. He missed the day one and two keynotes.
Yeah, no. I wish I could have come. I like the show a lot, actually.
He missed going into the Verizon Center for the morning keynote, where we had to go through a metal detector.
Wow,
it was kind of tough because I brought something with me.
Well, I know I'm usually concerned that Mary Jo will have a knife, so it's good that she's been disarmed.
I did bring something with me, and I set off the metal detector.
Oh, this is amazing!
And then I had to yell in the line, "It's not a gun."
Don't yell, "It's not a gun." Really,
I did.
And
everyone backed up. It was scary.
It's knitting needles?
It was the gong!
It's not a gun, it's a gong.
I brought it with me.
They were wondering.
With a gong.
OMG, that's awesome. That's so awesome.
So we have it for today.
Yeah.
No, it's staying over here. You're not ringing the gong.
Fine.
Well, so are we going to do some Inspire stuff? I see there's news as well. How do you want to handle this? I mean,
I think we should talk about the news that was announced here at Inspire.
Good.
So one of the big things that got announced on day one was something called Microsoft 365, which sounds more complicated than it is.
Yep.
So what it is if you know what Secure Productive Enterprise was, this is the replacement for it on the enterprise side. And if you don't know what that is, it's a bundle of Windows 10 Enterprise, E3 or E5, Office 365 Enterprise, and Enterprise, what do they call this?
Mobility.
Enterprise
security.
Mobility plus security, all together in one bundle. And they also announced a business version. So there were the two enterprise versions, and then there was another one called Microsoft 365 Business, which is almost identical to that, except it doesn't have EMS in it. It has some management capabilities, and it has a version of Windows 10 in there, plus upgrade rights to that version of Windows 10 and Office 365 Enterprise, I believe.
So the management stuff was vague to me on the small to medium sized business version.
Yeah, it was a little vague. It was they just said some more management capabilities to help you manage your devices, but I don't believe it's EMS on, on that part. So, yeah, this was a little confusing because I saw some people reporting this as Microsoft bundles Windows and Office for the first time. Amazing.
Not exactly.
No, and then some people, like, finally, they're integrating Windows and Office. Nope, that's not what that is either, right? So this is more of a bundle meant in some ways to get people to use more of Microsoft's cloud subscription services.
Right.
But it's also meant to try to get more SMBs to use these services as well and to upgrade to, yikes, a bug, upgrade to...
I'll protect you from that.
Upgrade to more fully featured versions.
That's what Donna Sikar said earlier.
Yeah, so that was actually a very big announcement, very interesting announcement on day one at the partnership.
Yeah.
I think you said Microsoft is a service.
Yeah, or you could call it Terry and Kirk and
Brad Anderson.
Brad Anderson is a service.
Right, all together at last.
Yep.
The other big one for me, also day one, Azure Stack, which is Microsoft's hybrid computing platform, now ready to order from the first three OEMs, Dell, EMC, HPE, and Lenovo. You aren't going to actually be able to get it shipped to you yet, but you can order it starting this week.
So, like, it's like an Apple product. When's the
shipping date is September for these. And so what Azure Stack is almost identical to Azure, except you can run it in a data center in your own environment, so on-premises, but equivalent to Azure, or in a third-party data center, they can run it for you.
Do you actually get like a box, like that when they had the internet on the IT crowd?
You get a server.
An empty box, big heavy empty box.
It's with a red button on it.
Yeah. No, yeah. You get a server. You get a big server,
okay.
You know, like starting at $300,000
nice.
Server.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's fully provisioned with Azure Stack. And you also get the support from these OEM partners as part of the bundle. And then you consume services and pay for them the same way you do as with Azure. So it's like a pay-as-you-go model.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So who is this for? This is for people who need to run Azure in a disconnected environment. They talked about people running it on cruise ships, for example.
What?
They actually did.
That makes sense. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's for Julie.
Also for people who want to have an application that is developed once and can run on Azure or Azure Stack, same application run across both environments. It's for people who still need to have things on premises, right? There are people who have compliance requirements that make them not able to use the public cloud for certain workloads, so they could run some of those workloads in Azure Stack.
All right.
Pretty big deal.
Makes sense.
Not hearing a lot of Xbox.
No, it was not an Xbox event. Although they did have a demo involving Xbox, but I think I dozed during that part, so I forget exactly what it was.
There is Azure on Xbox, though, right? Isn't there some sort of Azure connection?
Well, there was a game that was powered by Azure.
That's right.
A couple years ago, Destiny maybe.
That was it. It was all over after that, huh?
Yeah.
No, and then there are some services, some Xbox services that run on Azure, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's not Azure free. It's got some Azure in it.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have an Azure allergy?
Just checking.
More of an irritation.
Yeah.
I might want to mention that for people who are tuning in today live, they might notice something a little strange on our stream right now. We are we're in black and white. Yeah.
Right.
Because, as you know, this is the day that the entire internet is gathering together to fight elimination of net neutrality. And, of course, we care a lot about that because without net neutrality, I don't know if Twit would even exist. Mm. One of the reasons Twit can exist is because we are at parity with, you know, your big networks and Netflix and everything else that you might want to watch. And that might be in jeopardy. And it's not so much I'm worried about Twit. I'm worried about the next Twit. So we encourage everybody to visit the website you see at the top of the screen, battleforthenet.com. I'm sorry, .com, battleforthenet.com, and use that little box there to contact your Congress critter. Make a phone call today. That's always the best thing to do. Send a postcard right to your member of Congress. And for those of you outside the U.S., contributions are much appreciated to the organizations that are organizing to get everybody in the U.S. to let the FCC know. The FCC's comment period ends in a few days, and then there'll be a second period of comments. We'll make sure that everybody participates in that. So that's why we're black and white. You may now resume. I have slowed this show down enough.
Well, actually, I mean, aside from the seriousness of that issue, I bet a significant percentage of people who watch that show live are going to ask for it always to be in black and white.
It looks good. You guys, you know, it's like Dick Van Dyke. It's like I Love Mary Lucy.
Early Bewitched, yeah. The first season of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, it's just there's something magical is happening here, and I'm just glad we could be part of it. So, thank you. I forgot to mention up top, and I thought I'd better mention it quickly because people are starting to wonder what the hell is going on here.
Yeah.
So, continue on. What else is new?
One more.
Xbox something?
No, Office 365
nice
small
try,
business.
Paul.
How about Office 365 Business Premium got three new apps, or will be getting three new apps. That's actually interesting because Office 365 Business Premium is the highest-end version of Office 365 aimed at small and mid-sized businesses. And Microsoft's been adding a lot of new functionality to this over the past year plus. This week, they said they're going to be adding, they already had Mile IQ, which is their mileage tracking app, but that, now that's going to be free as part of your Office 365 Business Premium subscription. You're also going to get three new apps, Connections, Listing, and Invoicing. These listings is what it sounds like. It's a way to list your business on some larger sites on the web, I believe, and have that be like a way that you advertise to customers. Invoicing is you can create very nice looking invoices more easily through this app. Connections, I'm forgetting. What is Connections?
Email marketing.
Oh, yeah, email marketing. Right. So all three of those are going to be coming to Office 365 Business Premium as part of your subscription. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to buy anything extra. If you already get this plan, which is $15 per user per month, if you pay it monthly, or $12.50, if you pay it annually, you'll just get these apps before the end of this calendar year. That's also a good announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we have some not so good things we have to talk about.
Okay.
So we knew there were layoffs coming to Microsoft last week, and it was kind of interesting timing. I mean, it made sense because at the beginning of Microsoft's new fiscal, they typically do layoffs and reorgs and such. But we didn't know when we did the show last week how many people were going to be affected. And that's kind of an interesting insider baseball story about what happened there. Should we tell that?
Yes. Yes.
So last Thursday, we knew Microsoft was going to announce the layoffs that were a result of the reorg that they did in sales. So we thought most of those would be salespeople, and they were.
Yep.
But right at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, CNBC goes out with a story that says Microsoft lays off 3,000 people.
Very specific number.
Very specific number. So I started checking around. I'm like, where is this number? Is it on Microsoft's website? Where is it? And so I called Microsoft. I was trying to find out. And I found out that that number was just seemingly made up by somebody. And all Microsoft actually announced was multiple thousands of people were laid off.
Right.
We don't know how many. We really don't have a number. And after that, I saw other sites that had run after CNBC's number, changing their headline to say multiple thousands. We think it's around 3,000 to 4,000 people in the end that will be affected by this, most of them being sales, but not exclusively sales. And the reason we're talking about this at the partner show is a lot of partners came to the show wondering what the effects of the sales reorg and the layoffs would be on them.
Well, and a bunch of Microsoft folks came to the show and later discovered that they had been laid off.
Yeah, that happened too.
Yikes.
Not a lot. but,
ooh, but so. That would be,
happens. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess these things, I mean, what are you going to do? They happen.
I know, right. So the thinking behind this layoff from what we have pieced together is Microsoft, you know, the key buzzword at this show, and we did not make it a drinking game show because nobody would have made it out of here alive. Digital transformation, right?
They said that a lot, did they?
They said that a lot. And that's kind of the theme of this partner conference is, you know, transforming your business digitally, getting your customers to transform their business digitally. But Microsoft also is transforming itself as part of this.
Right.
And that requires a new set of skills for people who are their kind of frontline partners working with the channel. So those are the people who are being mostly affected by this layoff and this reorg. That's that group of people. That was kind of like a little bit of an overhang here at the conference. Today at the conference, though, Gabriela Schuster, who's one of the big partner execs at Microsoft, I thought she did a fantastic job in the keynote explaining what Microsoft was hoping to do with this reorg and kind of how they're restructuring themselves to try to work better with their partners, both in vertical markets and horizontally.
So, I mean, she's awesome.
She is awesome.
But, I mean, her org was impacted by this.
Definitely,
right? Which is kind of interesting.
So. Yeah. And the bottom line for people who didn't get to see her keynote was Microsoft felt like they were leaving some pretty big gaps in the way they were working with their partners and the way they were selling. And they're trying to remedy that in what they call the biggest change they've made to their sales model in the past decade. So that was laid out here for partners. They talked about the 6 new verticals that they're going to be targeting by letting their sales team focus specifically on a vertical instead of addressing a whole host of verticals. They talked about these new 4 buckets that were mentioned in that reorg memo last week about kind of the way they're looking at selling going forward. That was that modern workplace, data plus AI, apps and infrastructure. And what was the 4th one? I'm drawing a mental blank. But, right, business applications. How could I forget that? Dynamics, right. So, they talked a lot about that. At the keynote too, and kind of their approach moving forward that they hope will resonate better with the partners. The other thing they talked about that got quite a bit of applause from the partners on day one was they're going to start compensating based on Azure consumption instead of billing. That was something that people were kind of surprised they had not been doing, and now they're going to be doing that. So the whole marching orders were delivered here at the keynote for the partners. And there were 17,000 people here at this conference. It's one of the Microsoft's biggest, if not the biggest. And this is where they tell partners, this is how we want you to sell going forward. This is your mission. Here's your roadmap, and here's where we're going, and here's where we want you to go. So it's a very significant partner show. It's not just like, a lot of people say, oh, partner show, yeah, it's rah-rah. It is some rah-rah, but it also is giving people a very good indication of where Microsoft's going to be going and how they're going to be emphasizing products and services as they go forward.
For the unwashed masses like me, who are partners? What is a partner?
Partners are people who are resellers of Microsoft products. So some of them are systems integrators. People used to be called VARs. Remember VARs, value-added resellers?
All those millions of computer stores across the nation were...
Some of those people who
I was being facetious.
People who write applications like ISVs are partners, OEMs are partners. So it can be any kind of a company that does consulting, application development, or other kind of value-added work on top of Microsoft's set of products.
Got it.
Yep.
That's why there's some sales here because they want to keep these people excited about the product they're selling.
They do.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so it's been good. Too bad you missed most of it, but...
Paul's moving. We all know he's not available.
Spent a lot of time in a car.
I know. No, at least you made it. You're here today. So
and now that you know the way from Pennsylvania, you probably do it more often.
Yeah.
All right, let me take a little break, if you don't mind, and we'll continue. And special guests, we believe special guests are on their way.
Yeah, we may invite up a special guest next.
Okay. Why not, if you want to, go ahead, and I'll talk a little bit about my mattress while you do that. How about that?
Fair.
Our show today brought to you by Casper. the manufacturers of great mattresses that they sell direct to you for an amazingly low cost. I'm a big fan of, I sleep on a Casper. I know many people who do. In fact, my kid sleeps on a Casper because it's a great mattress. Casper is an online retailer, premium mattresses, for a fraction of the cost. You probably first heard about the idea from us and from Casper. And I'm sure the first thing people think is, well, how am I going to try it before I buy it? Well, you don't have to try it before you buy it because you have 100 days to try it in your own home for reals. Casper's made of supported memory foam for a sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design, and this is really important on these hot summer nights, sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. Read about the Casper mattress. They put amazing engineering into this. Comes in a very, in fact, I would say surprisingly compact box. That was important for when we bought one for my son because he's in the dorms and they had to carry it upstairs three flights. No problem. Casper understands, though, that you do want to try before you buy. So here's the deal. You get free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. So you don't have to lie down in a showroom. You don't have to, you know, get the stink eye from some salesperson as you try to pretend to sleep. You get it in your house. And if you at any time in the first 100 nights say, "That is not for me," no problem. Casper will come and take it away and refund you every penny. Casper's truly awesome. Visit casper.com/windows and find out how they design the mattress, how it works, why you're going to love this mattress. And believe me, there are people getting mattresses like this for such high costs. This is made in America and sold direct to you, which saves. Free shipping, free returns in the U.S. and Canada. And good news, now in the U.K., you can get a Casper in the U.K. Get your Casper mattress today. And, by the way, because you heard this on Windows Weekly, you're going to save an additional $50 toward a mattress purchase when you go to casper.com/windows. casper.com/windows and use the promo code Windows. $50 on a mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Casper. It feels so good when you go to bed on your Casper. Well, look, lo and behold, someone has arrived. You are no longer alone in the world. Mary Jo Foley, Paul Theroux, and I recognize Donna Sakar.
Yeah, so this is our yearly tradition. I show up to Windows Weekly at our partner conference.
Yep.
She was just in the audience. We saw her sitting there and called.
Yeah, so I've learned something.
Which is don't sit in the audience. Yeah, sit in the back.
Don't sit in the audience.
Right.
Exactly. Go loiter.
Yes.
Yeah. How are you guys?
Good. What are you doing here? I was kind of surprised to see you at the partner conference.
How dare you be here?
I was here last year, too.
I know, but it still seems surprising.
Our partners are really important. They're eyes and ears to so many conversations that we just don't get to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We say over and over, Windows Insiders are the millions who represent the billions. And we need to be able to hear their feedback across the board. And we get a lot of it in Feedback Hub, but we don't get a lot of their strategic goals and their feedback on how our products is helping them improve their business year over year. Because in Feedback Hub, it's going to be mostly this feature, that feature, this bug, or that bug. But they don't tell us, like, hey, we're looking to expand into the cloud next year, so can you make it easier for people who are, you know, Windows system administrators to learn more about how to deploy things to the cloud?
Right.
We also don't hear things like, it would be really amazing if Office and Windows would deploy at the same time, so we have to convince our VPs just the one time rather than having two different hustle sessions.
Yeah.
So these are the conversations that we have with our partners because they have them with customers all year.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Blair Glennon. Say hi, Blair. Hi, Blair. So Blair is one of the members of Something Happened, Team Windows Insiders. I know. How cute's that? So cute. So Blair is one of our members. He leads all of our data analytics and our Windows Insiders for Business program.
Oh, cool.
So he's the lead of those two. So this is really his show. He's set up a lot of roundtables with bunches of partners who have been very highly engaged with us on feedback. So we've pulled him in a room and asked him a lot of precision questioning.
Nice.
But they bring amazing stuff from customers.
And you had a, I heard from my sources, you had a you had a secret dinner last night?
Of course we had a secret dinner.
Nice. Yeah. Anything you can share from the secret dinner?
Yeah. So we had an interesting mix of people at dinner. It was people from the conference who are insiders, as well as local DC folks who are also insiders. Nice. And the thing we seek to do with events is to connect people to us and understand them better, but also to each other. And say, hey, guess what? There's people who have skills or needs in this town that you may actually be able to help. So really cool. Last night, there was one guy who was looking to build apps to help government. And one other guy, he's like, I'm really good at that. Let's get together and do this. Hmm. So forming those connections between insiders is really important. The other thing that we talked a lot about was how it's vitally important that we continue to get feedback across the suite of products. Mm-hmm. So we're figuring out good mechanisms to get, like, cross-pollinate feedback between Windows and Office and Azure, for sure. Before we came here, we actually had a really good meeting with the Office Insiders team. And they asked us to go ahead and ask the Office 365 question to all of our partners and said, okay, so you're a business person. And this is something our partners said, too. We deploy Win10, but we also always offer Office 365. And I don't think there's one single partner who says they only deploy a thing, yeah, right? Which wouldn't make any sense anyway. Mm-hmm. They say we do the needed. Right. So we need to figure out what is the best way for us to start getting feedback from partners and customers in a way where we can say, oh, you're a Windows insider. Do you also have feedback on Office? I'm sure you do. It doesn't need to be pre-release, but it is Office. And how can we funnel that feedback to the Office team the best way possible? And how can we co-do events? So we're probably going to have a joint session at Ignite in September, which will be really cool. I'm excited.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what you heard here about Microsoft 365 from people, because that was a big announcement here. It involves Windows 10, obviously.
Right.
But what were people saying to you about it? Are they interested in it? Do they like the idea of it?
We had a lot of people come by the booth. Blair, I think we had 150 at last count. Yeah. Oh, it's higher than 150. Okay. We had, and we like to have conversation. So we've had, you know, 200-ish, let's say, people come by the booth, and we asked them all, what did you think of this week's announcements? And partners, honestly, everyone said, duh. Right? They said, obviously, why wouldn't this just be a thing?
Right.
So no one was surprised. No one said, oh, wow, mind blown. They said, we just do this anyway. Yeah. You guys are just making it a little easier for us to tell that story. And rather than them creating their own bundles, there is one that makes sense. I don't know if you guys saw, but yesterday, Bernardo called us, Rob Lefferts, and a few of the members of their team. They showed a demo of M365. That was pretty interesting. They walked through the two workflows. You're an administrator at a company, so how do you go about actually getting the dashboard resonating with your customers? How do you get people to use it? How do you track who in your company has what apps installed, what's up to date, who needs, you know, the latest version of Windows, latest version of Office? And they also showed the customer's workflow. Like, I went to Amazon and bought a Surface. How does that get provisioned to opt into this thing? And it's actually really, really straightforward. And that was the powerful part, that it's not this elaborate song and dance process. And the team's done a lot of work to make it pretty simple. But when they walked through it, there was a ton of interest in the room. People were taking a picture of every single screen. Hmm. So that landed very well, given that this is the first time we've ever said these words out loud externally.
Yep.
But we think the most powerful thing was that they actually pulled someone up on stage who's been using it. Hmm. So there's this company in Germany who's been using this product for a few months now. And it was cool to have them just do a little fireside chat type thing and have the customer weigh in with their feedback on how it's going and how they want to continue to co-create this product with us going forward. So if you'd like to get in on that co-create early days, go sign up and let us know, because we're, of course, very interested in co-creating with people and funneling the feedback, not just on Windows and Office, but the process itself of N365-ing. We want to get feedback on that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Paul, how's your coding?
Well, since we last chatted about this.
So Paul and I have seen each other a lot this year. Since WPC last year, I think we've seen each other like
four
times.
You will be delighted to discover that I am now using Visual Studio and Xamarin.
Paul, I'm so proud.
So I've moved up in the world
yeah.
a little bit. I would say that Android development, especially using Android Studio, is a form of hell on earth.
Oh,
no one should
a form of, though.
Yeah. So I'm kind of glad to put that behind me.
Good. I'm so proud. We have a ton of Xamarin experts in the Insider community.
Sure.
If you ever need help, I'm talking to you, Raymond, who's decided he's going to become a Xamarin certified dev. So
nice.
People are always ready to help. So you should reach out. You should code at them.
Wow. Code at them.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds so aggressive.
It's great. They like it. They like it. Yeah, right. I'm so proud of you. So, MJ, how's your opening your own brewery going?
That's kind of on hold at the moment.
Oh, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah.
I like Paul, had a big moving event.
That's true.
Life.
Oh, you did?
I moved earlier this spring to mm-hmm. a new place in New York. So moving, you know.
Yeah.
You just moved too, right?
I did.
I know. Yeah. So mm-hmm. it takes a lot out of you.
It does. Because after you finish work, there's a whole another job.
There is.
Yep.
Nesting.
It never ends.
Nesting.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the reason I'm asking for those of you who weren't here last year was we had this discussion for about 45 minutes.
We did.
Yep.
About what are your goals in life?
Sure.
Yeah. It was. Paul says he wanted to learn to code, and I said, now you've told me that.
Yep.
Watch
like
out.
My mission, 7.4 billion people should be coding, and Paul should be
sure.
one of them.
Sure.
Nice. Mary Jo said that is not her goal.
That is not my goal, no.
She
it's
wants
not,
to open
it's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone.
It's not.
But you're one of the most technical people on the planet, so it's not a matter of, like, tech confidence, right? That's not the issue. It's just you don't want to do it, which is fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that one. But,
yeah, I don't know it either. But yeah.
There's this thing going around where a lot of people, and I don't see it in insiders, because obviously by being an insider, you raised your hand to get pre-release bits of Windows.
Right.
But in the general population of people who use technology, and these are not people who, you know, lives in some rural area who've never seen tech. They use it every single day
yeah.
in their phones and their computers. They say, oh, but Donna, I'm not technical. And I hear it constantly and it makes me insane. I said, do you understand how many skills you have?
Right.
Do you know how to open an email and send it? Yes. Do you know how to figure out why your Wi-Fi is not connecting? Yes.
Sure.
Do you know how to use Bluetooth? Yes. You are technical.
Right.
Technical doesn't mean creating technology. It means using it.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, you don't say you're illiterate because you don't write. You say it if you can't read. So when people say, oh, I'm not technical or tech illiterate, it deeply offends me. I said, oh my gosh, don't say that. Because it's the future. It's how we're going to all transform all these industries. We need people to be confident in their abilities. Like, yeah, I can figure that out.
Yeah.
Actually, that's the key, right?
It is.
You
yeah.
don't
yeah.
have to know the answer off the top of your head. You just have to know where to look.
Exactly. Right. And you have to have this attitude of, between me and all of the people I know in the world, we can figure it out.
Right.
These are not unsolvable problems.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's one thing I love about the partner show, by the way. You meet so many people here, or I do anyway, who started out like, you know, like I was the secretary in my company. Mm-hmm. Then they told me I had to be the system administrator. So I learned how to do that. Mm-hmm. Then they kind of bootstrap themselves, right?
And sure.
It's so interesting to meet them because they... Like, a lot of people outside wouldn't say they are technical, but they're really technical.
They're really
actually.
Technical. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool to hear their stories here.
A lot of the insider MVPs are folks who are retired from their first job that they had. And during that first job, they wound up using a computer for something or another.
Yep.
And now that they've retired, they realize, oh, there's this whole population of people who are a little bit older who want to use technology, who need to communicate with their families and live their lives independently, but they're feeling that lack of confidence in technology. So they like to go to these folks and say, I am just like you. We're the same age. We can figure this out. Yeah. You got this. I think that's incredibly powerful. So Blair actually did a survey where we asked insiders, how many of you help others with technology?
Sure. 100%.
Almost. Yeah.
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 For sure.
Almost. It
yeah.
was a very high number.
Yeah.
And we asked, do you do this as a part of your job or life?
Right.
It's about only half only did it for their job.
Sure.
But people just do it in life because it's something that they feel is a tremendous competency for them that sets them apart from yeah. people around them. And many of them said, Donna, you don't understand how much help elderly folks need with using technology. So if you guys can help us, help create content for us or help us help you create content for them, that can be shared globally. Thinking across languages, across regions with like low latency bandwidth issues, mm-hmm. what kind of technology.
we realized what an opportunity. So it's one of the things we're really going after this year is just helping to create content for the different kinds of audiences for our insiders to use to help people.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of was hoping against hope that you were going to bring the red button up here. And
that's what everybody's asking. Where's the red button?
I know. We had huge plans to do that. We were going to flight today, but we just don't have enough data. Part of it is half the people who would be flighting are traveling.
No, you're going to get
gong. Are you going to do the gong? Okay.
It's a small gong.
What is the gong about? Like, why are we gong?
The gong is something.
It's not the same reason. Okay.
When something happens that you don't like, or when Paul rants too long on Xbox, we bring the gong out.
Yeah, I've seen that. I didn't know that was this gong related, but.
The gong is, we wanted to have you push the button on stage.
I know. That was the vision, because I thought, okay, if you guys do this, if we do our yearly tradition of Windows Weekly, then that would be really cool to push the button on stage. But
tell the truth. It's really just a Staples, that was easy button. I know.
Yeah. So I think let's try to ignite. I think it would be cool. It would be exciting to do that.
And it would.
Just to watch the phone call that takes place of saying, okay, how's this data looking and that data and I'm compatible this and that. You guys can all listen in on it. It's a pretty hilarious conversation. And people
that sounds
like,
awesome. I would like to be part of that.
It's very funny. You guys can weigh in too and say, you know.
If we think it's ready.
I've imagined more like Mission Control, like Houston. Like
yes. Yeah. It's like that. But it's our team also, so you have to keep that in mind. It's funny. We're going to make a video, a behind the scenes of Flight Ops, how we actually go about shipping Windows build. Mm-hmm. We said it should be Flight Ops the Musical. And we don't know why this came about, but it stuck. So now it's called Flight Ops the Musical. And we have to make it, but we're trying to find people with any sort of musical abilities.
Yeah, because you want someone to actually knock it out of the park.
It's like one person. Yeah, right. So we can all, the rest of us, be horrible. Mm-hmm. But no one's volunteering.
Right. Terry has to be in it. Terry Meyerson.
Oh, he definitely must be in Flight Ops the Musical. We can't tell him that's what it is.
No.
So we have to lure him to a really important meeting with partners. And then suddenly he's in Flight Ops the Musical.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So what else is going on?
What else is going on?
Yeah. How was Build? What did you guys think? I didn't get to talk to you after that.
Build was good. Build is always good.
Yeah.
I know.
It's like our thing.
Yeah.
I think Build is probably my favorite Microsoft show.
Mine too, I think. Although I have to say Ignite also because of the IT Pro.
That's right.
And now Inspire. It's tough to pick your favorite child.
No, it's Build. True. It's Build.
Paul's like, it's Build. Paul's like, listen, I'm a coder. It's Build.
Yeah, Build was good this year. Yeah. It was interesting to kind of see you guys laying out the vision for the Fall Creators Update in advance, and then to see how that's evolved since then. So I like seeing the sausage being made.
Yeah, and I love
also
vegetarian sausage.
Vegetarian sausage, not actual sausage. Correct. Oh, jeez. It's cool having Windows as a service because we get to do so many interesting things and see how features resonate, right? Oh, by the way, files on demand. You're welcome, Paul. I know. As soon as that came out, that was like...
I honestly, the funny thing is...
You had gone past that.
I
devoted like six blog posts.
It's a big deal for people, but I kind of learned to work around it. And but the other thing that happened concurrently with this, and I don't think it's coincidental, is that OneDrive got a lot more reliable and performs better than it had for a while. And so I had started using some stuff off of Dropbox for a couple of years there. Mm-hmm. And actually, I just moved back to 100% OneDrive. But the files on demand bit, I mean, it's there, and I will use it, obviously, because it's there. But I don't really need it. But what I really needed was that kind of fundamental stuff that did happen as part of that engine change. So actually, it was kind of a win-win. Yeah.
You know? It was funny because when we were saying, like, all right, this is finally ready, we tested it internally forever because it's just one of those things where it can vary so much based on your network condition. But everyone keeps telling me, like, okay, you're going to tell Paul, though, right? I said, yes, I will tell Paul, though.
Sure.
So that was really funny because between Gabe and the OneDrive team, everyone's like, we have to tell Paul. We said, it won't be a secret. We'll tell Paul. Yeah. So Paul's favorite feature other than the Surface Pen Loop.
That's still the all-time
favorite. All-time favorite, Surface Pen Loop.
Yeah. I still have a song in me for that, but I will save that for a later date.
then the gong will come
out. It's based on the Candle in the Wind, sorry, the whatever that's called.
Do you want to sing it? Do you want to be in Flight Ops, the musical? We got our taker, guys. Flight Ops, the musical. We'll you could do Windows Weekly, the musical. Leo?
I'm ready.
Where's I've Brad? Got, yeah. Is Brad on? Giant Brad on the call?
He's
giant
always Brad. He's always on
there
the call.
Are you giant
kidding
Brad.
Me?
Giant
are you
Brad. Kidding? Ah. Giant Brad. Giant Brad. Do you want to be in Flight Ops the musical?
I've been doing this for 25 years, and that this is going to be my legacy is the yeah. most irritating thing that's ever happened to me.
Giant Brad.
Yep.
Actually, there's some demand for a release of the Creator's Edition at Ignite. Like you press the red button and it comes out.
Yeah.
The actual product?
The actual product.
That would be the right timing.
That
September.
Would be probably cool? Not a thing I do.
Oh, like, come on.
Let's consult like Mike Fortin. Hey, Mike Fortin, guess what we did? What?
We released it.
Yeah, sorry.
And then quickly,
this is what
unemployment.
Bill Kay left.
Yeah.
He's like, let me out of here.
Just like, what do you want to do? Yeah.
Best final gag ever.
No, Bill Kay's thing will be announced at Ignite.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Any
it's
hints?
Cool.
Yeah,
no.
Really. Hints.
Oh, it's really cool.
But he's in the same area.
Oh, yeah, he's in our
physically
building.
And
yeah.
mentally.
Yeah, yeah. He never gets rid of us. We harassed him right before yeah. arriving here.
What's his last name? Karagiannis?
Karagounis.
Karagounis.
Yeah.
Bill Karagounis.
He has a very dramatic first name. It's like Vasilios.
Is it really?
No. It's Greek.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah,
may,
but
okay.
they're working on one of the coolest things.
And what's it called again?
It is called Bill's Project.
I see.
It's an enterprise mm-hmm. feature, too.
It's an enterprise and cloud IT solution Ooh. Thing. I still don't know what the word solution means in tech. And everyone keeps making fun of me. Like, every time someone says it, solution. We're like, what is a solution architecture? What does that mean?
Right.
But so we won't let him call him that. We're just calling it like the Karagounis until okay. someone
is that
comes
the code name? Can
yeah.
we use that
BK?
As a code name?
You can.
Nice.
Because that's what we call it. We're like, okay. you know, it's a Karagounis until someone tells us otherwise.
Yeah. I like it.
Mm-hmm. But it's going to be, he'll talk about it at Ignite. So
you call it Special K.
Special K.
That's such a good name. Okay, mm. we should call it that, right? That should just be its name.
I think
it should be called Special K.
Code name Special K.
You guys should bring him on Windows Weekly and make him explain it to you because it
we
is
will.
Really cool.
That sounds great.
We
yeah,
will.
He'll be very excited to
nice.
Do that. It's a very cool project.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, Donna gave
yeah.
me earlier this week some
yeah.
giveaway things.
Giveaway
for the
things.
Show.
Did you see my socks?
But yeah, did
you
see
him wearing them?
No, he's not wearing these.
Paul's got blue window socks on.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. another pair of socks. But these are the special
yeah.
limited edition Ninja Cat socks.
That's
there aren't
right.
that many of these.
Oh, there's more socks coming
oh,
here. Oh, my.
Look,
there's
the window socks.
There's socks being thrown on stage. This is a good window
more socks. Oh, man. Okay, so.
Oh, I guess everyone's going to get a pair of socks.
Nice. We got the window socks.
Thank you.
Yes.
We got the Ninja Cat socks.
The Ninja Cat socks.
Look at these. Leo would love these.
We had no idea these would be so popular.
So how are we going to do this? Are we going to do a Q&A?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
we're going to have some Q&A, perhaps.
Let's have Q&A.
And should we do it now?
Yeah, let's do it now.
We could do it now. And if you want to win one of these amazing
Can ask Donna
socks,
a question and keep us off the hook? That
no,
would be good.
You can ask any of the three of us something.
Yes.
We have a microphone, and you have to come up to the microphone. You don't have
yes.
to say who you are if you don't want to.
And then
you
I'll, should. Just, I'll just throw socks at you.
Right. You throw the mic. I'm not going to be able to do
We're going
to
get no takers. If
he throws like a girl. I've seen him. So
wow.
it'll work really well.
So really well then.
Right. That's what I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So if you have any question, it can be about the partner show, announcements.
Paul's coding.
Paul's coding.
Bill Karagounis.
Bill Karagounis.
It can be beer
thing.
Questions.
Project.
Special K.
All you mm-hmm. have to do is come up, ask a question at the mic, and you could get your choice of a beautiful pair of socks. I can't believe no one is coming up.
Seriously.
They won't. They're like, you're going to throw socks at us. Why would we come up?
Do we have? Yeah. I don't think there's a camera pointed toward you, so you don't have to worry
yeah.
about that.
No, you yeah. won't be on the camera.
No, you won't be on camera. You
okay, I see a brave person.
There's someone raising ish there. Oh, good.
Nice, nice. We're just asking you to be on the mic so you can be part of the show mm-hmm. and we can hear you. So make sure you talk right into the mic.
The mic? Yeah. Looked at Brad Smith's presentation this morning.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be an underlying message that Microsoft will stand up against sort of legal and subpoenas. And I think that's an important message. You see the same thing going across, you know, different providers. And is that Microsoft's actual message?
Yeah. So this morning, Brad Smith, who's the chief legal officer at Microsoft, he also gave an amazing keynote where he talked a lot about Microsoft's approach to privacy and GDPR and a lot of legal issues. And he did make it seem like Microsoft will back customers, partners play, and they're not going to give your data to anybody using it for nefarious purposes. So I haven't heard other, I have not heard other vendors stand up there and say it that definitively.
Well, Apple was forced to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but not like right. he's saying it. I think he's being very proactive. Well,
but they've always done this, right? This is the one of Microsoft's big strengths. They have the moral high ground on this kind of stuff. They've been fighting this fight for years now, actually.
Yeah.
Would you like Windows socks or Ninja Cat socks?
Oh, I have to do the cat.
There you go.
These socks. Okay, so question. T-Rex, narwhal, or shark?
Narwhal.
Narwhal.
The gong show.
Okay, see, the yearly tradition ends when
no,
I break
it's good.
The gong.
The gong is a gong. The gong made
it's got a handle.
It has its own handle. Wow. It has everything.
Ironically, this was a housewarming gift.
I know. Paul gave this to me for my housewarming gift. Yeah, he did.
This is how sad our relationship is.
She actually brought it to the keynote.
She travels with it now. It's nice.
What were you going to gong in the keynote?
No, so I had a session at the partner conference this week called Reading the Rem and Tea Leaves, mm-hmm. and I knew some of the questioners could get a little ranty, so I brought it.
Oh, that's awesome.
To,
you actually get to use it.
I gonged a few people.
She gonged some people. Yeah. I thought you were going to gong Satya. That would be great.
Oh, man. Like,
Mary Jo, I can hear you.
Well, when they announced the next partner show is going to be in Las Vegas, I did think about taking the gong out on that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Another another victim. Questioner. Mm-hmm. Come up.
My question's about the demographic of the insiders. So
yes.
You said the millions helping the billions, and it's great to be able to test out new features on them and get feedback on those features, but how much feedback are you getting for new features that aren't there yet versus stuff that's already there that you're asking to test? Because traditionally, people don't like the shift, and there's not many people that lead the thought. So if we're just testing the features that we think are good, how do we actually get new stuff into Windows, Office, etc.?
If we're just testing the features we think that are good, how do we get new things into the product? So you'll notice that we don't always ship everything that goes to insiders. And a lot of it is because they didn't test well. So I think that's one thing that people really need to keep in mind, that just because something is an insider build does not mean it's going to go to GA that release, or if ever.
Right.
And that's the point. Because if, say, insiders gave us feedback, we don't like this, we shipped it anyway. What is the point? You're not co-creating with your community. You're just validating an assumption, it didn't go your way, you're gonna do it anyway, right? That's your annoying friend who asks you for advice and doesn't take it. But in insiders, we believe that many of our insiders are able to represent the people they help day to day. And that's why this data was really important. Because people say, oh yeah, I love this feature, it's awesome, but it's going to be very hard for people who I support to use. It's very hard to discover. I could do it because I know how to hack registries, but you know, most people don't really want to hack registries for their lawyers or their teachers or their communities. So insiders actually give us really amazing feedback on, this is really cool, can you please make it easier to find? Or this is really cool, but maybe too complex. A lot of the apps we've gotten that feedback, like they're too tweaky. You don't need to be able to tweak so many things. Just have there be like a very simple basic view. And then I'm a power user and I want to tweak every setting.
Thanks. Is there an element though of the Henry Ford adage, which is the faster horse, the customer wants a faster horse? How do we overcome that?
We, as you've noticed, we've overcome that. Every once in a while, we will bring something that solves a customer problem that we're aware of. And again, it's in test though. If it doesn't actually solve that customer problem, we won't ship it. So you'll notice that with mostly like device families. Like, no one gave us feedback, we want holograms on our head. Did that. No one gave us feedback that, hey, you know what? We want a laptop that's a tablet that you rip off the top and wave it around. No one gave us that feedback. It's just a new device type. And by testing it, especially with the V1 and them landing well, then people are like, when's V2? I want this, that, next thing. That's awesome. And now we're able to say, like, okay, we're actually kind of good at the new device families. So we've gained a lot more confidence in saying, all right, let's just try some other device families and see how it goes. Hmm. But it's based on what people are trying to do, observing them and saying, this would be like Surface, the rip off the top part happened was people bring up something on a laptop and they'd pass the laptop around. And you know how tedious it is to pass around a laptop. And a mobile screen's not big enough to show something.
Yeah.
Or to like draw. There's a lot of people who want to draw and don't want their drawings to be lost. But we always test with audiences, like Surface Team tests with audiences as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, don't leave.
Oh, yeah, no, no, you didn't get your socks.
Would you like some socks?
Why not?
Yes.
Do you want the Windows socks or a Ninja Cat sock?
I already have Windows socks. So.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, look at you. Okay. Left shark or T-Rex?
We'll get the shark.
Shark.
There you go. Thank you.
Oops, sorry.
I think they're just holding out, hoping we're just going to, like, give everybody a pair of socks.
No, Paul's just going to take them home.
Hey, this is, I'm Frank Lavinia. Big fan of the show. My question is, what are your thoughts on the integration of advanced data analytics, even in places where you wouldn't necessarily find them? One example from Build was kind of, you know, the real-time translator into PowerPoint. It almost seems like AI and analytics is like the new Clippy. It's kind of everywhere.
Yeah, but it, unlike Clippy, AI is awesome.
Well, I'm not going to diss Clippy on a public forum.
Yeah, I feel like it is everywhere, right? Like, add AI to everything now. And you know, the thing is, what you define as AI is pretty broad right now as Microsoft, right? So, you know, Cortana is being called AI, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm just saying because the set of products that Microsoft puts under the AI umbrella is broad.
Sure.
It makes it look like, oh, yeah, they're just saying add AI and stir, right?
But well, yes. But, I mean, and everyone's doing that. If you look at what Google is announcing right now all the time, it's AI, AI. Even Apple is talking about AI.
Right.
You know, they talk about doing on-device machine learning and AI, which is semi-ludicrous. But if you look at just some of the things Microsoft announced today, an app for iPhone that helps blind people navigate around the world.
Yeah.
Is AI-based. The translator stuff that you wrote about for PowerPoint or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, we were talking about Build earlier. You know, when I think back on this year, I think the biggest single thing, regardless of what other releases happen and all that stuff for Microsoft, is probably going to be the Microsoft Graph stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
That they talked about at Build. And it's really exciting. And that's a direct application of AI to the future of computing. And so, I mean, it is totally a buzzy, slangy kind of word, but it's real, and it's a huge deal, I think, for Microsoft and for the people that use Microsoft products. I mean, from the outside, that's
how. For sure. And analytics, you mentioned analytics too. One of the things Microsoft talked about here at Partner is embedding Power BI, embedding Dynamics 365 in apps. So they're making it easier for partners to take those things and build on top of them. So I think you're going to see more third-party solutions using this stuff, too, not just from Microsoft.
Right. It's just, I mean, you know, here I am stroking Microsoft. I hate myself for this. But, you know, one of the things that Microsoft has always done well is kind of democratizing technology and bringing it away from the white lab coat guys. I mean, what's left for guys in white lab coats when it comes to computer science, artificial intelligence? I mean, they're bringing it to the masses. They're bringing it to partners, like you just said.
Yep.
And it's a thing. It's a capability, or really a set of capabilities, that individuals or smaller companies could never have done on their own.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting.
That's very powerful.
Yeah.
We think of it as we in the Windows Insider program is solving decades old problems with technology. Because if you're going to solve it without technology, you would have solved it by now. They're not fun, right? Obviously that didn't work. So let's apply technology to the problem, and let's apply technology that learns from past behavior. The way I think about AI is it's just learning from the past behavior of the human. And that's basic things like last thing you searched for. It's been around for a long time. It's not like, oh, the robots have arrived to read my mind. That's not what AI is.
No, that's 2018.
That's just creeper. AI is like... things like PowerPoint Designer, that's my favorite example. It helps fill in the gaps where you're not good at remembering things. Or like in Word right now, it'll highlight like ranty sentence, you know, that sort of thing.
That's a little gong logo?
It is. It should be like a little gong.
Yeah. But it's stuff like that where it will come into your life a little at a time as you need it. It will solve problems. And it's not going to show up one day and say, okay, I'm here to replace you, human. It doesn't work like that. And I overall think it's a really good thing because then people can actually collect data on how often did they use that thing? How often did they accept the suggestion? Say PowerPoint Designer, it shows up 10 suggestions. I can't make PowerPoints at all, but I give a presentation every week. So shows up with 10 suggestions. Which one do you choose the most? Which one is most crowdsourced? Amazon does it for Kindle, right? Which sections were highlighted, then it shows you.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of helping people without me having to collect a large amount of data myself. It shows, like, what do people say? What do people like? And let me bubble up those options higher so that I don't have to go dig through a lot of data. All search engines have been using AI forever, right? That's why certain search terms, certain results pop to the top.
Right. Wait. Mm-hmm. Wait.
Socks.
Socks. Oh,
it's got to be the T-Rex.
The T-Rex.
Ooh, wow. Popular.
Now we know. We should have brought more socks, Blair.
More socks. Good job.
Sorry. That was a little short. Hello.
Hello.
My name's Brett. I had two questions for Mary Jo the other day in a session. I got two questions again, if I can.
Okay. Always two. You can ask me the same two questions.
Get the gong ready.
The new question.
Ready.
First is just more probably for a comment from you. We heard that Surface Hub got canceled today. That's a joke.
So that's not correct.
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay, good, good.
You have any comment about that?
Yes, we do.
We do. For the record.
Right. Right. So we should talk about what happened with Surface Hub. I didn't bring it up during the layoffs.
Well,
but
What's the second question? Is the second question...
Second question is probably more for Donna. I want to ask about the new methods of input. Kind of Windows 10.
Oh, you want to keep that
handwriting recognition and voice. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You know, we're gonna defer on the Surface Hub question to after. Life? No, we're gonna do it later in the show.
Yeah. We already had it in the notes. Yeah, and it's kind of a big topic.
It is.
I was being sarcastic.
Yeah,
I work with the Surface Hub, and it's doing fantastically well in Australia. So
we'll tell you some good things you'll like hearing about that. But let Donna do the voice.
So I'd be a bit more specific, Donna. I've had a bit of a play with the new handwriting recognition update. Mm-hmm. Not sure. I'm imagining you've probably seen what's going on there.
Yep.
And the voice input, which I think is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Microsoft had a 15-year lead in handwriting recognition that they may have squandered by now.
Sure.
Windows 10 handwriting recognition has not been fantastic to date, even though it's a really good system. It didn't work properly. So do you want to gong me now? Very
No, you're stating your opinion.
I really love the changes that you've made. But probably following on from my brother's question before, Matt, who asked about features that I guess probably don't attract a lot of feedback because they don't, a lot of people don't know about them. It's one of those features that people don't discover. So how do you get data out of that to take it in a really good direction?
First, through power users. There's people who have to handwrite as part of their job. So it's a matter of, I think of things as whether it's optional or mandatory for you. For me, using voice input into my PC is optional. It's not mandatory. If I was blind, it would be mandatory. Mm. So I believe that the feedback coming in from Jason, the blind insider from Toronto. Hi, Andy Weir. I told you. Andy loves when I tell that story. He's only heard it 950 times. But when Jason gives feedback on Cortana, that matters a lot more than Donna's random rants of something did not work when I was trying to use it to like flight a build. So handwriting, it's similar, right? Where some people need it for their job and some people need it for their life. They're power users of handwriting. They use it every day. Jen Gellman on our team is an example. She handwrites a lot of things. And people who use OneNote with handwriting, also huge power users, people who use the sketchpad part, architects, artists, much more relevant than, I took notes in a meeting once. So the people we get feedback from are the people who are hardcore users of it, and they're willing to take the time to give feedback. So that's one. But the other part is absolutely we need to spread more awareness about these things are even options and they're out there. One of the key feedback from partners were, can you please help us create videos or content showing, hey, by the way, you can do these 10 things with handwriting. Did you know? Or here are the 10 places handwriting actually works.
I do that, by the way, on my YouTube channel.
Oh, you do that. Perfect. Yeah. Then we will start pointing people to your channel.
Yeah.
We really do want insiders to get recognition for all of the work they do because so many of them help community, just like you with the YouTube channel or so many host forums or Facebook groups and whatnot. And we want them to get the credit because they're leading in communities. And we don't want to always be the people who are leading communities. We want our insiders to be empowered to do that because that's how you scale to billions of people. So one of our big goals is to make... We have a new website coming up. I don't know if I'm supposed to announce that. Okay, cool.
Yay.
What's it called?
Yeah.
Insider.windows.com.
Okay.
It's our
website. When's it coming out?
We're in testing. We've been testing it for about a week. We want one more week of testing across browsers, form factors, et cetera, and latency and such. And then we will release it probably to our insider MVPs first and then to everybody. So a big part of the website is the resource section, which is tell me how to do this thing. And some of it's how do I roll back a build or get a new build, that stuff. But other parts are how do I even talk to someone about handwriting? How do I talk to someone about deploying Windows en masse to a big corporation? So it depends on audience. So we're going to take a, you guys will notice we're going to really focus on different kinds of audience, whether it's consumer, small business, large business, other. And we will have content sourced from insiders, people who we believe have created really good, useful content that's been proven to be valuable. And we actually are going to set up a section, the Feedback Hub, saying, what other info do you need to actually help people or do your job? And then we're going to go out there and either source content or find content to help with that and have our website be kind of the central spot where people can find things. It'll go off to many places. We found in the Microsoft IT Showcase amazing articles on how to do specific things based on real stories from Microsoft's IT department. We're a big enterprise. So if you have a big enterprise, probably you can use some of our solutions. That was really powerful. We actually heard about that from our insiders. That, hey, you guys should use the IT Showcase stuff. That's cool. We said, oh, we should have a look. So we learned so much from insiders. I should get going for answering this question for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was good. You gave us some scoops. So
can I just add then that for, I mean, because I'm assuming a lot of insiders watch this podcast, and can we encourage them to get out there and try handwriting recognition on their Surface and see how it works, learn about it, to give the feedback?
Yes.
That you can collect, obviously, with your telemetry.
We love it. The best way to get more features put into... The best way to get more functionality put into a feature is to use the feature a lot.
Right.
That's the best way.
A lot of people think that they would never use handwriting recognition.
Right.
And they probably wouldn't use it on the keyboard, but they're certainly going to use it in OneNote if they've got a device like the Surface.
That's right.
Taking notes. Windows 10 handwriting recognition is converting it to type text in the background, so it's searchable. And a lot of people don't know how powerful and important that is to the average business professional out there. So I want insiders to get out there and start using that feature and learn about it.
I love it. Handwriting is very important. We have seen all of these studies about how you just retain more knowledge when you handwrite. You seem more engaged rather than being behind the screen.
It's a visual process, not an auditory process. So we tend to remember it better. Our brains are geared to it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love it. If you want to create content for us for handwriting.
I'm going to talk to you after you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Give this guy some socks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
They're going to be Windows socks.
They have to be Windows, but that's a good sock.
Those are good socks.
That was the worst one yet. Sorry.
Here comes another.
Yay.
Everyone wants socks.
I'm going to overhand this one.
Paul, this is a question for Paul. Is it true that you didn't actually show up for the last day of Inspire because of any interest in Microsoft, but because you're a massive Carrie Underwood fan?
You're not getting socks.
On a serious note,
yes.
For the four Windows 10 mobile fans that still exist, can we expect any new features on the Windows Insider?
We're leaving that to Donna.
Sorry, Donna.
Can you expect?
Can we have a spotlight on her?
Maybe we can go dark. Okay. Windows Mobile, we continue to invest in it. You see builds every week, right?
Sure.
Depends on what you mean by a feature.
Well, I think what we've seen the last couple of weeks since it split is that there have been kind of more bug fixes. Would there be any new features coming?
We are planning a lot of features that will go on devices that are mobile.
Okay, I think.
Yes. There are devices that are mobile, devices that you carry with you everywhere. We are planning lots and lots of features and functionality for those kinds of devices.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. You can still have a sock.
Despite the Carrie Underwood situation.
I'm going to go home before the Carrie Underwood event tonight, so...
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, tell her hi. Yeah.
All right, maybe we should take a break.
Okay.
Okay.
Donna, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Always awesome.
Yeah. We'll see you next year.
We'll see you next year. I'll see you guys at Ignite. And when you've got Bill up here asking him questions, he's very enthusiastic. So
let's have Bill on.
Yeah, we're going to have Bill on. You're going to help us.
Definitely. Exactly. We'll bring any leftover socks we have to throw at the audience. Cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Donna Sikar. She's, of course, the Windows Insider Chief at Microsoft. We're going to take a little break, have more from the Microsoft Inspire event, and more special guests coming, too, in just a little bit. But first, a word from our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage. Those of you who watch this show are, all right, admit it, geeks. You probably want to do everything you can online. And until recently, you couldn't do probably one of the most important things, certainly the biggest purchase in almost anybody's life online. That's get a mortgage for a house. That was something you still had to go down to the bank and, you know, bring a box of paper products to show them and prove your worth. Well, now you can do it all online, and you can do it with one of the best lenders in the country, Quicken Loans. They've created something called Rocket Mortgage, and their goals were more than just to make it easy and fast. They did that for sure, but they also want to make it simple for us so that it's an easy process and a process that's transparent, that we understand exactly what's going on every step of the way so that you're confident, you know, that you're getting the right mortgage for you. And that's what Rocket Mortgage does. It does it beautifully. You can do it all from your phone, from your tablet, from your computer. You can do it at an open house. You could do it in the park. You can do it anywhere you can get online. And you will still be at the open house when you get your approval, because this thing is fast. You don't need to go through boxes of paperwork to find your pay stubs or bank statements or any of that financial stuff. They've got trusted partners everywhere. It makes it very easy just to give them all that information with a touch of your finger, whether you're buying your first home or your 10th, or maybe you're refinancing your existing home. Rocket Mortgage is the best. It could do it all completely transparently. You could pick the term. You could pick the rate. You know exactly what's going on, and you're going to get a loan tailored to your precise financial situation, your income, your assets, your credit. And this all happens in minutes. Minutes. Rocket Mortgage. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. That's rocketmortgage.com/windows. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. We thank Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans for making Windows Weekly possible. We now take you back to Washington, D.C.
Change of plans, Leo.
With a change of plans. What's happening?
We might have another guest.
How exciting is that?
He had to step out.
He had to step out of the room.
You want me to do a tap dance? You actually, you know, we still have stuff in your rundown. We can go through some of the other stories before we get to our next guest. How about that?
Yeah, let's talk.
Let's do the surface segment.
Talk about some Surface.
I was kind of surprised by that question. Is there something going on with the Surface Hub or the Surface Pro? You want to talk about the Surface Hub or the Surface Pro?
Let's do Surface Hub first.
What's going
on?
Since
we teased it.
Right. So, we were talking earlier about layoffs, and yesterday it came to light that one of the groups affected by the layoffs last week is part of Microsoft's Surface Hub team. Specifically, they're closing the Wilsonville, Oregon plant where they make Surface Hubs. It's not the only place where they do manufacturing for Surface Hub, I don't believe, but it's one of the main places. So as part of that, they were laying off 124 people who work there. A lot of people took this to mean Microsoft is discontinuing the Surface Hub. Nothing could be further from the truth on that. They are continuing with Surface Hub. In fact, at the partner show here, there seems to be a lot of excitement about Surface Hub. There's in a separate part of the convention center here, there's meeting rooms where they're showing off Surface devices and Surface Hub. And it's a very well-trafficked part of this convention. So I asked Microsoft, you know, what does this mean for the future? Are you still committed to Surface Hub? And they said, yes, we are. I think what's happening here is they're consolidating manufacturing because they want to make more of them. And when Microsoft bought Perceptive Pixel in 2012, that's the technology that is basically the foundation for Surface Hub, they got that Wilsonville plant as part of it.
Right.
So what they're going to do is close that plant and then combine manufacturing of Surface Hub with the rest of Microsoft's manufacturing operations for Surface.
So don't read into this that this is bad news for Surface. In fact, I've been hearing rumors of a Surface Hub 2 coming.
The other thing is, you know, when you think about Surface as a product line, whether or not you believe it to be successful by any metric, I mean, the one thing I would say that makes some Surface products successful is their ability to inspire Microsoft's partners and competitors to copy that device, right? And so you could look at something like Surface Pro and say, well, you know, not only is this actually the best-selling Surface product, but you could see in the PC industry, you can see on the Apple side, you can see on the Google side, a lot of companies are copying that device. And actually, we see that with the Surface Hub as well. And so we see other products like this, like the Google Jamboard. And I don't have any information about a next-generation Surface Hub per se, but it's not hard to imagine them introducing a version that's a little less expensive, for example.
Oh, yeah. I wonder. A lot of people wondered if that means because Surface Hub is fairly expensive, but it is a pretty decent deal for what you get when you look at what is incorporated. I don't know if they're going to drop the price of Surface Hub, but I would think giving them more scale for manufacturing could allow them to, at some point, drop the price or at least reduce it somehow.
Introduce a model that maybe bridges the gap functionally between what they have, which is pretty high-end, and something like what Google offers with the Jamboard.
Yeah. So that's Surface Hub.
A Surface Hub. And what was the other thing? Oh, the Surface Pro.
Yeah.
So you may have heard last week's Surface, there was a Surface Pro story where the new Surface Pro, the 2017 model, some people were reporting sleep issues, meaning that it would literally go to sleep while they were using it. So they'd be typing or using the trackpad or whatever, and it would just shut down. It was actually going into hibernation. And, of course, this, you know, given some of the reliability issues we have with Surface Pro 4, with Surface Book, some were questioning whether we were seeing this again. And actually, as of, I think, while we were recording this show, if I'm not mistaken, a representative from Microsoft posted into the support forums and said, hey, we have, in fact, identified what the problem is. We're testing a fix, which we can deliver via Windows Update. So it looks like it hasn't shipped yet, but it should be fairly imminent. So if you have a new Surface Pro and you're having this problem, it looks like it's going to be fixed. I will say I do have a new Surface Pro, and I've never had this problem. So it's not impacting all of them. But if it is happening to you, you might have a fix.
Yay. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any more Surface news?
Oh, just a small bit that, you know, Surface Pro 4 was also updated today for the new type covers. You know, there's a 2017 model type cover, and then there's a 2017 model signature type cover, which is that Alcantara covered option with the new colors. I had sort of assumed these were identical to the previous gen type covers, but apparently they're not, because they just released a firmware update to specifically address those new type covers, so maybe there's some slightly different componentry. But they work automatically if you have a Surface Pro 4, but apparently if you have the combination of a Surface Pro 4 with one of the new type covers, you will be getting a firmware update.
I was going to ask you this, Paul, because I know you really care about Bash on Windows. I noted that Ubuntu was available in the Windows Store, and I wasn't sure.
It's confusing.
I know that won't work on my 10S, but do you have to be an insider now? So
as it shipped in preview form last year, I think in the Creators Update, right, I think was where it first appeared. Or was it the – I'm sorry, not last year. In the spring, in the
creators update.
You'd have to go into developer mode, right, and enable it.
So what they're doing going forward is they're making this more of a seamless process. So you won't have to go into developer mode. You'll be able to install it more easily. And then you'll be able to choose the Linux distribution you get through the store. And so right now there are two SUSE versions. We've got Ubuntu in there. Presumably Fedora will be coming soon. But for now, you have to be in the Windows Insider program because this is a feature of the next version of Windows 10. So
if you have the
current shipping version of Windows 10, you can access the WSL subsystem. You can get Ubuntu going, but you have to go through a slightly more complex, probably I would say dramatically more complex process to make that work. But they're about to make it a lot easier, and so that's what you're seeing. The Ubuntu in the store is only for the Insider Preview.
Yeah, and it's the same LSW, right? Linux subsystem for Windows. It's not a full Ubuntu distribution. It's just the shell.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the WSL is in Windows, and then the distributions are going to be available through the store.
Got it. Okay. I was a little confused. You know, this is why I have to do this show, because coverage is so confusing in the, you know, the other tech press that you just don't know what's happening.
Yeah, those jerks.
They're jerks. Jerky jerks.
No, you know what? It's confusing. I mean, to be honest, it's still kind of a fog of war thing on a lot of the stuff. It's new.
Yeah.
I don't even remember when was WSL a feature of 1607 or 1703?
No, I think it was 1703. You had to be insider to do 1607.
I think it was 1511.
Oh, well,
well there you go. The reason it's confusing to me is because I'm old, and also because we can test these things early in the insider program. So for me, this feels like something that's been around for a long time. But actually, I think it might have.
I'm going to look it up.
I think it's officially. I think it might have actually arrived in 1703. As a non-beta.
That's what I think, because I was not an insider, so I couldn't do it until March or whenever.
Yep.
And then, you know, you have to turn on developer, then you have to add it as a feature, and then you can download it and install. So I'm pretty sure it was 1703, unless you were an insider.
Well, Leo, I don't understand why you can't remember these very simple things.
I believe I'm correct. I know.
All right, Mary Jo's going to look it up because she doesn't trust us.
I can't find it. I'm like,
come on.
Does anyone in the audience know?
Somebody
the
out there must know.
Somebody probably does.
All right,
I would think you should pat me on the back. I'm still running 10S on my Surface laptop.
Look at you.
I am committed to being hobbled.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, okay. So this definitely appeared in pre-release form in the anniversary update, because as of January, you could run. Oh, no. Yeah. It was. Yeah. It was.
You could
already
run the first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was 1607.
Yeah. They must have announced it at Build last year, a year and a half ago.
They did. That's right. They did.
Yeah.
I remember
and so
now.
It must have arrived.
Is Rich Turner in the audience? Can we ask
Sadly
him?
Sadly not.
No.
No.
Okay. No, but he's probably going to correct
us
soon on Twitter.
Yeah. He'll tweet you. Yeah. He'll tweet you.
Yep. Yeah, it was. And yet I found an article.
Because I stopped I stopped doing insider builds. You remember that, right? As soon as, I think it was when 1607 came out, I want to say. And so I couldn't install the LSW until.
Yeah, no, it was. Okay, I have confirmed. It was the anniversary update.
Okay.
All right, I'm wrong. Okay.
It was.
Well, but it wasn't. Remember, the first version was basically a preview. It's possible even the version that shipped in, let's say, March is still a preview.
Preview? Is it still called preview? It might be. I forget. Yeah. Anyway.
I will look at that, too.
Okay.
Let's see. What else?
Let's learn about Windows on the fly.
Should we bring up our other guest?
Is he here?
Oh, is he here?
By the way, it's still a beta. Yeah, it's still listed as a beta.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to? Oh, yeah.
It'll be beta forever.
Where is he?
He's over there hiding.
Is that
Bill?
It's over here.
He's in the dark. He's saying he can't do it. Is that what you're saying? Are you giving us the shepherd's crook? Yeah.
Oh.
So I guess we do not have a guest.
No, we're not going to have him.
But he did bring us socks, so thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
Frank Shaw call and say he can't come on? What happened? All right.
He may be busy. I know he's doing a lot of sessions here.
Okay.
So.
We should reiterate for people who are just tuning in that Paul and Mary Jo are at the big Microsoft Inspire conference in Washington, D.C.,
We should reiterate that Mary Jo travels where they're gone.
Yes. And I barely used it.
That's not the house gong. That's Mary Jo's gong.
My own personal.
She brings it with her. And if you're watching the live stream today that we are streaming in black and white, I'm still getting questions, even though there's a big red banner at the top of the page, because today is the day that many websites, I don't know if you've been to Reddit yet today, but Reddit, Facebook, Twitter and many other websites are slowing down voluntarily to remind people that we are fighting to preserve net neutrality. And this is that day that everybody's doing that. So we decided, instead of slowing down, we decided to go in black and white, as we did a couple of years ago during the SOPA battle. And SOPA and last year's comments on net neutrality that changed Tom Wheeler's mind showed that if we get together and we act, And we comment on the FCC site, and we write to our members of Congress, we can do something about this. The FCC currently wants to eliminate all net neutrality regulation, and I, for one, feel pretty strongly that without the notion that all bits are equal on the Internet, a lot of things like TWiT wouldn't exist. So regulate the ISPs, compel them to make the Internet free and equal to all, And you can do that by going to battleforthenet.com, and that's why we're black and white. And because I think I'm going to do this from now on, you guys look so good in black and white.
That's amazing.
It's not the same thing. It's not that.
Okay.
Yeah. So we could talk about Windows 10.
Yes. Actually, you know, I just looking at the notes, I realized we kind of blew it with Donna because we could have asked her some schedule questions.
Yeah. There's only so much she can say.
Yep.
Right? I know.
Yep. Oh, well.
Anyway.
We'll muddle through it.
We will. So there is no build today for insiders, but last week there was a new fast ring build, 16237, and there were quite a few features, or at least feature updates, in that build.
Yep.
The one I thought was the most interesting was Microsoft still chipping away at trying to fix the DPI issue with Windows 10. So they're making a little headway. There are some fixes for this in this insider build. What it will let you do is not have to totally exit apps when you do something like dock and undock or user moding. You'll actually be able to just restart the apps, is my understanding.
Yeah, it's right.
So it's not great, but it's better, right? This is a hard computer science problem.
Yes.
Like, we joke about that all the time, but this is actually something that's really hard to fix. And right. I'm glad to see that they're continuing to try to make users' experience better with high DPI.
Yep.
What else is in there?
Read aloud.
Read aloud.
Your favorite new feature.
I said to Paul, what would you use that for?
Wait a minute. It's what it sounds like.
It is. You can have a browser page read aloud to you.
Yeah, or a PDF file. And, if you think about the way an ebook works, if you have an Amazon Kindle or whatever, that's often a feature. You can have it read, and the cursor kind of moves with you as you go. So it's probably a nice accessibility feature.
Yes, definitely.
As well as just being generally useful.
Right. There were some things around emojis, keyboard, touch keyboard.
Skip right past that.
Yeah. So, we're getting closer. I'm not supposed to say this word. I have to gong myself, in fact, as soon as I say it. We're getting closer to RTM for Windows 10 Fall Creators Update.
I feel like I'm on an episode of
The Gong Show
or something.
We're not supposed to say RTM, but you guys know what I mean. We're getting closer to Microsoft saying, okay, that's the build that's going to be Fall Creators Update. So at this point, you're just seeing a lot of fit and finish, a lot of fixing icons, fixing things that aren't exactly the way they would like them to be when the build ships. Like, they have the placeholder there for the Hyper-V gallery that you talked about last week.
Yep.
But there's nothing in it yet, so it's just like that's still coming soon kind of thing.
But here's a question. You know, at Build, they showed off a lot of really exciting new features.
Yeah.
And OneDrive Files on Demand is, the one example of a major new feature they talked about at Build that is going to be fully realized in this version of Windows.
Right.
Great. But the story remix stuff, the
pick up where you left off,
the cloud-based clipboard stuff.
Yep.
There's been little or no hint of that in any of these builds. And as we get closer down to the wire, to the end of the development period, you have to kind of wonder if a lot of that stuff isn't going to go to the next one. Now,
well, it is, right? They said some of these.
We know a timeline, certainly. Yeah. So, conceptually is fine. You know, we get a new version of Windows now every 6 months. It's really not that huge of a deal. It's just that I really feel like, and I went back and looked at the video, that these things were promised for this release. So it's kind of interesting. That would have been a good question for Donna, because I think the perspective of people on the inside might be a little different than the perspective looking at it from the outside.
Right. The other thing we didn't ask her, I guess somebody did kind of ask her, is about the future of phone, right? And yesterday was the last time that Microsoft will be updating with security fixes or any features or support Windows Phone 8.1, which is the version of Windows Phone that the majority of people who still have Windows phones are on. So if you have Windows 10 Mobile, you're still supported, obviously, but if you have a Windows Phone 8.1 device, you're not getting any more security updates after this week. So I don't know what I would have asked about that. I guess I just would have said, so I guess that's that for Windows Phone.
Well, I mean, now that she's gone and we can just talk about her behind her back. I don't want to put words into Donna's mouth, but I mean, I think she was kind of tiptoeing around an issue, which is that Windows 10 Mobile, the way they've kind of split the development, it's in kind of a holding pattern, right? It's not bunches of new features happening. And so I can't say for sure what she was alluding to, but I would actually imagine it might be that stuff I was just talking about, the clipboard in the cloud, the...
More continuum features.
Well, no, the Windows 10 features that kind of speak to non-Microsoft mobile devices.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah.
I mean, in other words, they are putting mobile features into Windows 10, but they're designed to work with non-Microsoft mobile products.
Yeah. And, well, also, I kind of felt like we're now interpreting Donna, right?
Which is super unfair.
I kind of feel like she also possibly was alluding to what comes next after Windows 10 Mobile.
That could be too.
So we keep hearing there's stuff happening. You know, there have been rumors about Andromeda, which may be the next Microsoft mobile device, which could be a tablet, might not be a tablet. So she may have been alluding to that. I didn't really want to put her on the spot, I have to say, because I know she can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's also not her part of the company.
Sure. Where
that's a Surface product, right? So
yeah, I mean,
we would
think. Well, and maybe more to the point, I mean, she works in the Windows Insiders group, and that has a specific thing that they're doing. And, and you know, there are other people making decisions about whether or not Microsoft supports Windows 10 Mobile.
So, yeah.
I bet, though, people come running down the hall screaming.
I know.
She'll be back. She'll be like, wait.
Wait.
We waited until you were gone to ask the hard questions. Sorry.
Wait, let's talk about Paint.net.
Of course.
Back to soft questions.
So Paint.net is kind of a special application in the Windows world. It was written as part of a Microsoft-sponsored contest, actually, to recreate Paint, you know, the Microsoft Paint app from Windows, in .NET at the time, you know, years and years ago. So it's written in C#. It's written using the .NET framework. And the person that made it has kept going with it. And it's a full Photoshop competitor. It supports layers and is an advanced graphics and photo editor. And it is an amazing application in its own right. And so he revealed fairly recently that he's bringing this app to the Windows Store, which is great. It's a free app. And that will happen sometime soon, and that's great. But this is an interesting test case to me because this guy is such an experienced .NET developer, he would be the type of person, I think, who might be interested in adding UWP-type features. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those things you can do with the desktop bridge is, you know, beginning adding features that are platform-specific on Windows 10. So I'm curious to see if he does that. But regardless, it's still kind of a nice thing that Paint.net is coming to the store sometime soon.
Are they doing, is it, what is that, Centennial? Is it a Centennial version? Or are
that's
they
right.
Gonna,
yeah.
That's
right.
Not native.
Right.
Okay. Well, it's proof that Centennial works.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you, what would you like to do next? I have
maybe
another
we should
ad.
Go to the back. Ad and then back of the book.
Okay,
maybe?
We'll do the back of the book. And, and any questions from the audience? I think you got most of them, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
If anyone has any further questions, we'll give out the socks, even though you didn't ask questions. I feel a little weird about that. But we should have, it looks like we have a bunch of them, so hopefully we have enough for everybody.
We shall return to Washington, D.C. In a moment with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley and what we call the back of the book and, of course, soon-to-be annual tradition, the yearly sock giveaway. But
just make sure you pronounce that clearly.
But you know what? I want to...
Soxing Day, we call it.
OSFM.
Right. So every pair of these socks has a sticker on it that says OSFM.
Yeah.
Any
Office
thoughts?
Of the Supreme Fettuccine Monster.
One size fits most.
Oh, one size
fits most. We were looking for like a Microsoft
That's
significance.
So boring. Oh, man.
We were. We're like, what do you think that
How
means?
Disappointing.
I don't know. What
it's just, a retail thing.
Oh.
I'm like, maybe it means operating system, something, something.
OS frequently modulated.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm.
I can tell you they fit wonderfully.
Paul's wearing a pair.
Well, you're most, I guess.
I have humongous feet, so.
You know what? Send me a pair. I have tiny feet, and we can measure.
Well, it is one size fits man. What did you say? One
most,
size fits what?
Most.
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 Not man.
Right.
Sorry.
One size fits man.
They will fit women as well.
They will.
Our show today brought to you by the fabulous folks at Blue Apron. Oh, I love. We do. We were doing three Blue Aprons, one box a week. That means three meals a week. But we started giving one of the meals to our in-laws, my wife's mom and dad, who are older, and they love it. They get the Blue Apron. So we get three, and we pick the ones we want to keep, and we save one, usually one that we know they'll like, for Poppy and Grandma. And I think that that's such a neat thing to do. Blue Apron is fantastic. I am an avid fan now. And first of all, let me tell you what it is. It's America's number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service. All the ingredients you need to make an amazing meal, and I mean everything, even if it's a clove of garlic or one lemon, you know, one stalk of celery, everything you need, no more, no less. It's fresh, never frozen, the meats, the fish, everything in a refrigerated box. The produce is perfect. Perfect. Never a bruise, never a bump, always, never, nothing wilt. It's all fresh and amazing. That's really the reason why they deliver it, you know, in a limited area. They want to make sure they can get it to you in a timely way. But I love, when we get home and that Blue Apron's on the step there waiting for us, oh, it makes me so happy. So the way it works is, you know, you only get a delivery when you want one. You go to the Blue Apron site. They have weekly menus to choose from. They have menus for couples and menus for families. You choose, you know, three per box. Some people I know get two boxes a week. You could do that, absolutely. We get one. That's just about right for us. That's exactly what we want. By the way, we're a family of three, but we generally find we can get three meals out of that easily. Sometimes I'll make a little extra broccoli or something to stretch it out. It's a nice size portion, is what, I guess what I'm saying. Average is about $10, a little less. Per meal. What I love about it is that's less than it would cost to go to the grocery store and buy this. And there's no waste because you don't get more than you need. You don't get a bunch of celery. You get as many stalks as you need, many ribs, I guess, as you need. And that's fantastic. Now, let me tell you about the recipes. Amazing. You become a better cook. In fact, I noticed because we've been doing Blue Apron 2 days a week, I cook more days of the week. We don't eat out nearly as often. Because I get inspired. I go, oh, I'm going to try a variation on that. In fact, tonight, Lisa's already told me, we're going to do the salad that we had 3 weeks ago. We liked it so much, we've made it many times since. It's a cucumber and a summer squash salad with an ingredient I never tried. That's the other thing I love about Blue Apron. It was called mirin. It's like a Japanese, savory, it's delicious. It's like a vinegar a little bit. But you put a little bit in, and it's incredible. Seared chicken and creamy pasta salad with summer squash and sweet peppers, creamy shrimp rolls with quick pickles, and sweet potato wedges, fresh, my mouth is watering, I'm sorry, fresh basil fettuccine pasta with sweet corn and cubanelle pepper. Now, that's the other thing I love about this. You never, you know, you get ingredients you may never have used before. I don't know I wouldn't recognize a cubanelle pepper if I met it in the street, but now I'll know. And so you add to your repertoire. All of these are, by the way, not intimidating, not threatening, easy to make. I should have brought in the recipe card. It's, it's the size of a piece of paper. It's coated stock. It's thick. So you can, you know, refer to it while you're cooking. They'd make it very easy to do. And it's really almost, I mean, you're really getting some great skills. This is what we're doing tonight. Chili butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes and spinach. Can't wait. I love Blue Apron. Take about half an hour to 45 minutes to make the meal. I always enjoy it. And here's another reason I like it. The house fills with these savory aromas. And Michael will say, what's for dinner? He'll come in there. Sometimes we've been able to get him to cook along with us. That's another fun thing to do, especially if you get the family plan. Blue Apron. I want you to check out this week's menu and get three meals free with your first purchase, plus free shipping. But you have to go to blueapron.com/windows. blueapron.com/windows. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. I have to admit, I kind of fantasize. I found out this morning, what are we cooking tonight? Chili butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes and spinach. And I've been thinking about that all day. I can't wait. blueapron.com/windows. Just do me a favor. Try it once. Just try it once. Get your first three meals free with your first purchase and free shipping. blueapron.com/windows. I think you will understand why I'm such a Blue Apron fanatic. Let's see. Back to Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. I think we should kick things off with the tips of the week from Mr. T.
This is going to be a little hard to explain on the podcast, but if you're using Android and Windows 10, and you have the most recent version, Windows 10, you can actually read, reply to, and send text notifications from your computer through your phone using Cortana.
Oh,
and so basically,
that's nice.
You just need to enable, well, install Cortana on Android, obviously. You have to check off the right features in the sync notification settings. And then you have to make sure that it's configured correctly on the Windows side. But once you do that, you just start getting notifications that come from your phone. So if someone sends you a text message, and I just wrote about this in the context of text notifications, but actually you can basically handle any Android-based notification through your Windows PC if you want to. So I've been trying to experiment with that, but it gets a little overwhelming. But it's kind of a neat thing. And you can, from the notification slider that pops in from the bottom corner, that toast notification on your Windows computer, you actually have like a quick reply box, so you can type the your response.
Been using it all week.
Yeah, that's cool,
good.
Right?
Yep.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Yep.
Also, I don't have this in the article, but if you want to send a text notification from the Windows computer, just a new one, you can just open, you know, Start Search or Cortana and type in text and then the name of the person, and it will just start a new text message.
And now, how does this interfaces with whatever messaging program you're using on your phone? Because Android's a mess in that regard.
So it's cloud-based, right? So it's what it's doing is basically passing it through Cortana. And so Cortana is the thing that will, you know,
and she'll Cortana, know you, based on your settings on the phone which text messenger you're using.
Yeah, you have to give it permission to access that. Yeah.
Is there a way you cannot make them show up though? Like, say you're showing your whole screen and then these start popping up onto your screen.
Yeah, I mean,
you just shut them off. Silent,
there's quiet time.
No,
right?
There's a presenter mode you can go into, but actually the simplest thing to do is probably just to go into
I turn on quiet time.
Quiet hours.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know.
Yeah. Because, well, the show's been going on. I've been watching them pop up on my screen.
Yeah, you could manually turn off notifications.
Yeah, you could, but then...
You can also, there's a timer on this, so if you go into...
Oh, there is? That's good. Oh, that's really good. That's what I would do. I would set, no notifications for 2 hours.
I do that during the shows, or I try to remember to, because otherwise...
Oh, maybe it's gone. Well, there used to be a timer. I don't see it now. Okay.
I think on my Surface Studio, it's always quiet time.
Yeah, anyway,
it sounds like a joke, but it's, cool. And your app of the week?
So, first of all, paint.net, just want to mention that again. If you haven't looked, you don't have to wait for it to be in the store. You should check that thing out. It's actually really cool. But the big pick this week is actually PlayStation Now, which is a service that lets you play PlayStation games on your computer. But the thing that's awesome about this is they just added the first PlayStation 4 games to the service. And so you can actually play PlayStation 4 games on your Windows 10 PC. You need a DualShock controller, so you actually need to buy a PlayStation controller, which makes some sense. Although I'd love to be able to do this with an Xbox controller. And I have to say, I have a pretty fast internet connection at home. It's a streaming service, right, like Netflix. The performance is incredible. And actually, since you brought up high DPI, this is an example of an app that doesn't play well in high DPI. The main app window is fine, but the game windows are just displaying at the native resolution of the game. So all the little widgets are tiny, but you can run them full screen, obviously, and you're probably going to want to. You can also stretch out the windows. But I've tried a bunch of different games, different game types. I've done online multiplayer, action games, but also some kind of slower moving type games. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's actually really awesome. And it kind of begs the question now, because, Microsoft obviously has a competing service that's not exactly the same, but it's only for Xbox consoles, right? It's not for the PC. And it's not a streaming service. You have to actually download the games. But, this to me seems a little bit like the first step toward the end of the console in a way. Because it's the type of thing where they've abstracted the console away from the hardware, and you can do it on a console, but you can also do it on a computer now. That's pretty cool.
Neat.
You have to pay for it. It's a subscription service.
I'm downloading Battlegrounds. Have you played that yet?
Yeah. What is it?
Do you know that Battlegrounds? It's like the Hunger Games for your PC.
No.
Yeah.
No, I've not done that.
Yeah. It's Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I have heard of that.
Yeah. 100 people enter, only one exits. It's like Battle Royale or the Hunger
this
Games.
This is the thing they showed off at E3.
Yeah.
This is, in fact, probably the biggest thing they showed up at E3.
I think so. I'm pretty excited about it. And I, boy, I'll tell you, if I could only install this on Windows 10S, I'd be happy.
Sure. Yeah. You know, there's a free upgrade, Leo. That's my tip of the week.
Yeah, yeah. This is very popular, very popular. All right, I think we can now segue to the Enterprise Pick of the Week and Mary Jo Foley.
Yes. Eric Ligman, he actually is not at the show this year.
Confusing.
I know. But he usually comes to the partner show. He is the Microsoft Director of Sales Excellence. That is his title. Every year around this time, he compiles this giant list of free Microsoft ebooks that there's no strings attached. Like, you can go download all these books. There's books on Azure. There's books on SharePoint, Dynamics, System Center, Cloud, Office 365. They're all totally free. And this year, he organized this list in a really handy way so that you can get them in the format you want really easily. So PDF, Mobi, EPUB, there's the category, the title, and you can go download these. You don't have to subscribe to anything. He's just compiled this giant list, and you can go get these books for free. So the easiest way to find this is to search for Eric Ligman, probably on MSDN, and you'll find this post. It's got giant words that say, largest free Microsoft ebook giveaway ever. And you can go get any or all of these. There's no limit on how many or that you can take. You can take all of them if you really feel ambitious.
Does this make you angry, Paul? Does it?
Well, these are...
Are there any Windows books in this?
Yeah, there are. But these are kind of IT-focused.
Right.
So
they keep doing this, though. I mean, you know.
I mean, I could see why you would want to give those books away, but I...
not anything, like, good. Yeah,
it's not like they're field guides.
No, this is good. They do this a lot. And,
they do.
And Mary Jo always lets us know, which is fantastic.
Yeah. PowerShell. Really, yeah. I'm, like, scrolling through the list.
Is there any Windows subsystem for Linux books?
There probably are. There's SharePoint, SQL Server, System Center, everything you would want and more.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
So, yeah, that's my enterprise pick, so you can go get your books.
Books. You could use this one, Paul, moving to Microsoft Visual Studio 2010. Wait a minute, 2010?
None of your coding.
Isn't that kind of old? here's one, Programming Windows Phone 7.
Oh, maybe not that one.
I actually own that book.
Is it a field guide?
Yeah. No, I wrote a...
I know you wrote a
book. I did write a book.
I know.
Social is for closers. Oh,
that's
this is
a good
one
for this show.
From Microsoft Dynamics, your brand sucks. I'm not, you think I'm kidding, but that's...
No,
I'm
it's
not.
Good because there were a lot of branding sessions at this show. A lot of people here want to know about branding and marketing and,
An employee's guide to healthy computing. Actually, that's great. Somebody called me and asked about ergonomics. I thought everybody knew, but somebody called the radio show and said, well, I have a laptop and my shoulders are hurting because I'm hunched over. What do you recommend? You can imagine where it went from there. But this time I could give them the employee's guide to healthy computing. That's cool. Content encryption in Microsoft Office. Getting started with OneDrive. This is amazing.
I know. There's so many.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
And I'm guessing you don't have an enterprise code name. You have a rumor of the week.
Right. So this is actually, I'm dispelling a rumor and explaining what something is that was rumored.
Okay.
So I think a couple of weeks ago, somebody, I don't remember who actually found this, but somebody found references in Microsoft documentation to something called Windows 10 Business.
Right.
And everybody immediately jumped to the conclusion, man, they're adding another new SKU of Windows 10 when they come out with Fall Creators Update. I'm here to tell you, this is not what Windows 10 Business is. I found out this week at the partner show what Windows 10 Business is. It actually is the version of Windows 10 that is in Microsoft 365. So that thing they announced, Business. Microsoft 365 Business. So there's a special version of Windows 10 in that bundle that includes some management and security functionality that's not in other versions of Windows 10, except if you have Windows 10 Enterprise. So this is kind of like the stopgap and step up for you if you are using
Microsoft 365 Business.
Right.
So if you hear about Windows 10 Business, that is what it is. It's not, Microsoft is not adding a version to Windows 10 that's called Windows 10 Business.
Okay.
That's kind of good to know, because a lot of people were freaking out about this.
I'm still slightly confused. So you're saying it's basically, they get Windows 10 Pro.
It's kind of a something between Windows 10 Pro and Windows 10 Enterprise. Right. It's neither fish nor fowl. It's not Windows 10 Pro, just plain old Pro.
It's not 10 Enterprise.
It's something that's a little bit of both, but it only comes in Microsoft 365 for business.
Okay.
Yeah. So dispelling rumors, that's our job here at Windows Weekly.
Interesting.
And I imagine, knowing you, Mary Jo, that you've probably tried some local beers you find tasty.
Yes, I have. There's a brewery in Washington, D.C. There's actually a few breweries here. One of them I like a lot is called D.C. Brau, B-R-A-U. So if you're here for the partner show or in D.C. this summer and you see beers from them, their beers are excellent. And they have a Hefeweizen beer called El Jefe Speaks that is very good. Hefeweizen's a wheat beer, kind of spring, summery kind of beer. It tastes a little banana and clove-like, but it doesn't have either of those ingredients in it. The reason it tastes like that is because it has a higher proportion of wheat in it than many beers do, and it gives it that taste. So if you're looking for something light and refreshing from a local brewery, I would suggest El Jefe Speaks. I have spoken. El Jefe has spoken.
El Jefe. It's
a strange combination of
things going on.
Beer
there.
And Spanish. And
yeah.
Not quite Spanish.
So we did actually a really good piece on Saturday on the new Screensavers. About Lagunitas and how
I saw somebody tweeted a picture of that, and I'm like, what?
You got to watch twit.tv/NSS. Yep. It was really fun, and we had the brewmaster in, Jeremy.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, wow. Really, wow. Was fun. He brought a lot of beer, and he brought us a sour that was fantastic.
Oh, nice!
A Dark Swan, it's called. It's a wine based sour, and it was really good. Yeah, it was really good. So anyway, I know you're interested in the technology and all that. They've written their own software and so forth to control the whole process.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, El Jefe, bang that gong, because it's time to go home.
I know. Should we give a final gong?
We're
going
to send Mr. Thurrott on the Acela. Oh.
The final gong of the show.
Hit my head again on the thing.
You scared him. You've got him. He's a little jumpy.
Twitch.
A little Pavlovian there, but instead of mouth watering, his head just snaps. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Thanks to the folks at Microsoft Inspire.
I know.
In Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
They did a
awesome
great job setting up sound and video and they were, you know, had camera operator and everything. Thank you, guys.
I mean, I did a pretty credible job back in Amsterdam. It was close.
Almost.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Almost.
Pretty good. What is
the same ballpark?
What is the venue you're at? Because I suspect that some of the people in the venue helped us out a little bit too.
Yes. The D.C. Convention Center.
Yeah, it's the Walter E. Washington Convention Center.
Thank you, everybody, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mary Jo Foley will be back to her regular haunts soon. Don't worry, Rattle and Hum.
I'm on my way home tonight.
Get the Stein in the freezer.
I am, however, looking for a new bar.
Paul does not have
also
a local anymore.
Sushi restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, you might have to be looking long. But I'll tell you what, the hot pretzels
are the Amish big on sushi?
No,
I'm not sure.
No,
right.
But to get a giant pretzel in butter, and you won't ever want sushi again.
No.
Yes, you'll be one of us. Mary Jo Foley also hangs out on the web at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her ZDNet blog. Paul Thurrott's at Thurrott.com. thurrogood.com. His books are at leanpub.com. Together, they form the dynamic duo that hosts Windows Weekly each and every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific.
The Dynamics Duo.
The Dynamics
Duo. Dynamics 365.
Ooh. Every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. If you want to stop by and join us live, we'd love to have you. You can also chat with us at irc.twit.tv, and we will make on-demand audio and video of this show in living color. We head back to the 60s.
Do you have to subscribe to get color?
How yeah, you know, work? That's well, that's a good idea. We've been trying to figure out if there's some way we can get more money out of people. you want the color, but that's going to cost
both
you.
The audio and the video versions of the podcast.
Purple's an extra $5.
Purple's free?
Yeah, no, we're just streaming in black and white today to remind people of the battle to preserve net neutrality. But if you are downloading this, you're hearing it in full dynamic range stereo. And if you're watching it, yes, Paul and Mary Jo are purple. And we thank you all for being here. We hope you'll come back next week. See you then on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.